Hello, my name is Peter Simcock and I am Senior Lecturer in Social Work at Staffordshire University Social Work and Advice Studies Department. As part of my development as a new member of staff, I undertook studies in the Postgraduate Certificate in Higher and Professional Education, and as part of that course undertook a small piece of research exploring the experiences of a deaf social work student at Staffordshire University. And the outcomes of that research were presented in poster format, which you can see here in the journal. The piece of research I did was sparked by my own professional interest in deafness and deaf culture. And at the time, we had a deaf social work student with us at the university undertaking postgraduate studies. She kindly agreed to be interviewed for this research. By way of introduction, the context in which this is set is the aspects of equality and diversity, and the current government have confirmed needs for higher numbers of students from disadvantaged backgrounds to be accessing HE, and disabled students are considered in the widening participation agenda. From initial studies, it is clear that deafness in itself does not adversely affect academic attainment, but much of the research that is available states that deaf students often fall behind in various aspects of higher education and the higher education experience. I wanted to explore the experiences of the deaf social work student at Staffordshire University and see if her experiences mirrored those that are reflected in the literature. You'll see on the poster on the left-hand column aspects from the literature review. Much of my literature review identified that research tends to focus on childhood education experiences of deaf students, and deaf students in higher education has actually received little empirical attention. However, common themes did appear from the literature. The literature was gathered from searches from various education and social work databases and stems from research in the UK and abroad, specifically Australia and Queensland University. Some of these common themes concerned some contemporary factors affecting the experience of deaf students, some problems and challenges that deaf students faced, which were both regarding academic issues and access to the curriculum, but also issues of a non-academic but HE experience nature. Within the literature, there were also some suggestions of useful strategies for best practice at a HE level. And some of these themes are reflected in more detail on the poster, which you can see. Some of the contemporary factors include an increasing welcome of deaf people within the social work profession, but some structural and financial constraints that affected access for deaf students into HE. There are also strong arguments for radical change in the way that deaf students are conceptualised, and calls to see them as a linguistic minority, as they are seen themselves rather than disability. However, it's often through the label disability that students access support. Some of the key challenges facing deaf students revolve around communication and participation, lack of deaf awareness amongst academic and non-academic staff, the use of interpreters. Interpreters seen as both an incredible positive and key to access, but also coming with their own challenges around a lack of subject and esoteric knowledge at a HE level. Group work posed a particular challenge for deaf students, as does means of assessment, which is often English written assessment, whereas for many deaf British Sign Language users, English is a second language, and therefore assessment of this type poses an immediate barrier. In addition to these academic barriers, some non-academic barriers identified in the literature include difficulties with the physical environment and issues around the social isolation or disengagement from social activity at HE because of barriers around communication. Finally, some of the key useful strategies identified in the literature include an enhanced use of communication, not only via interpreters, but increased use of direct communication where academic staff have sign language skills and increased deaf awareness. E-learning was identified in the literature as highly valued by deaf students, and making use of virtual learning environments was seen as vital. Some universities have begun to allow students to be assessed in their first language, and for deaf students this has included completing assessments in BSL, with one university social work department allowing deaf BSL using students to present their assessments in this way. Increased liaison between the student, academic staff and the support services was also identified as key, as was the recognition of the cultural linguistic model of deafness rather than a medical individual model. In the centre of the poster at the top is some information about how I undertook this research. It was a small-scale case study chosen as it was useful for identifying issues in social work and education, but also due to the time constraints. As part of the methodology, I undertook a face-to-face interview with the deaf student, a face-to-face interview with one of her academic tutors, and also an email interview with University Equality and Diversity Officer. The interviews took the form of topic lists which had been drawn from the literature we've just discussed, and from these topic lists, open discussion took place with both the deaf student and the academic tutor. The deaf student was interviewed in British Sign Language, and without an interpreter, the communication was established direct, enabling me to form a positive relationship with the student and gather some really useful and rich data. It also ensured that deaf culture was recognised and valued, and therefore accorded with social work ethics and the value base. The research was qualitative in nature and went through the ethics at Staffordshire University, with written consent being gained from both the deaf student and the academic tutor. With the small scale nature of the research, of course, it does have its limitations. The case study cannot be generalised to fit the experience of all disabled students, and of course deaf students are a heterogeneous group, and so we cannot make generalisations from this research. There's a risk of ethnocentric bias. I myself as researcher am hearing, and I was engaging in the world of deaf culture. There is risk there that of bias. The topic list interviews were not piloted, again due to time constraints, but this may have proved a useful mechanism so that some of the issues coming out of the interviews could have been explored in more detail. The interviews were not audio or video recorded, but rather notes were taken. This could have resulted in memory decay, again affecting the outcomes of the research. And finally, owing to my own background as a social worker for deaf people working in the service for some years, there was a risk that I saw confirmation bias of some of my own ideas already. Some information about these limitations is in the middle of the poster. And opposite those limitations is a list of some of the strengths of this approach, which you can see. Having undertaken the interviews with both the deaf student and with the tutor, some really interesting themes and rich data came out of those interviews. And looking at some of the themes from those interviews, it was clear that the majority of themes did echo the literature review. However, certain information and data came from the interviews which showed a contrast with the literature review. And these issues are identified at the bottom of the poster with some key quotes from both the student, quotes in purple, and quotes from the tutor in orange. By way of summary, the key themes echoed from the experience of this particular deaf student revolved around systematic and financial constraints to the support she required in order to access the course. She engaged in reduced access to general non-academic services and did experience a level of social isolation from her peers on the course. The support that she did access was only available to her under the umbrella term disability, and there was little recognition of herself as a linguistic minority member. and this is something that the student talked about at length. The student also stated she had great difficulty with group work, and the quote says how much she found this to be the worst bit of university in her terms, and again this is something that comes out very strongly in the literature. The student raised a number of issues with interpreters, some very positive, but again, like the literature, some very negative. A particular issue was that she felt that many of the academic staff believed that the interpreters were enabling her full access to the curriculum, but her own experience was that this was not the case, with some interpreters not having a good enough understanding of the topic at discussion or of a higher education level, reducing her access. And finally, her own experience of what worked for her mirrored some of the useful strategies from the literature, including information being given in advance, direct communication with a tutor rather than via an interpreter, liaison with key players, online social networks, and recognition of a cultural linguistic model of deafness rather than a disability model. As I mentioned earlier, there were, however, some key areas of contrast. The student didn't experience a lack of responsibility amongst academic staff, but rather found that academic staff and key administrative staff were very supportive in meeting her needs as a deaf student. This particular student also expressed no preference for being assessed in British Sign Language, stating that her level of English was such that she enjoyed engaging in English and using written assignments to assess her work. She also stated that she did not engage particularly in e-learning or virtual learning environment Blackboard academic software, whereas in the literature this is reflected as seen as very important by deaf students. Finally, the issue of social isolation. Whilst the deaf student herself stated that she did experience a level of social isolation, the tutor felt that this did not reflect in reality. He felt that she was more engaged and more integrated in the group of students than perhaps some of her hearing peers, and felt that some of the experience was due to it being a small time module and less chance to get to know each other, rather than the issue of deafness. Finally, I sought to identify some key strategies that would enhance our learning and teaching practice based on some of the issues that have arisen from this small-scale research and from the literature review. And I've recorded these at the right hand of the poster and separated into three categories: individual issues, departmental issues, and institutional issues, which you can see on the right hand of the poster. Picking some key issues out from these: anticipatory adjustments, making adjustments expecting an increase in deaf students and hearing impaired students rather than waiting until the situation occurs is good practice. Exploring online and VLE resources, not only for formal teaching but for peer communication and incidental learning, can be very important. And recognising the positive contribution that deaf students make to teaching and learning, particularly in a social work setting, by adopting a model which affirms a deaf cultural identity, are all things that we can do on an individual level to enhance our teaching practice. For our particular department, a recommendation of deaf awareness for academic staff and other students, a review of the systems we have, and a review of the curriculum materials from a deaf perspective, involving and including deaf people. Finally, there are institutional issues. Commitment to increasing the number of deaf staff and deaf students in line with Staffordshire University's own strategy. This is something that has already begun to take place. Some key changes to the physical environment and the accessibility of non-academic services. Liaison with other universities with a larger deaf student numbers, for example Wolverhampton, may provide best evidence of best practice and issues that we can learn from. And finally, further consideration should be given to the conceptualisation of deaf students as a linguistic minority rather than as disabled students. A reference list is found in the bottom right-hand corner of the poster, listing all the literature that was used in this small-scale study. I hope to take the research forward further and hope to engage in further dialogue with deaf students and academic staff and our partners in equality and diversity so we can ensure best practice for deaf students. Thank you.